Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints happy cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to a special live edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast live stream because the Saints 2020 schedule dropped today. We have a new computer, and as you would expect with a new computer for Saints Happy Hour podcast, we had major technical crises 30 seconds before I hit the button to go live. On brand.
Ralph just dropped off the call, and it's just Andrew and I talking to each other for 5 minutes until we realize Ralph's not even here anymore.
I hope we're live. We'll see. Basically, the internet on my computer dropped off. So, we'll see. So the Saints schedule dropped today, gentlemen. That was exciting. The first thought of it, Dave, was Tom Brady week one. That was obvious.
That wasn't my first thought, but okay.
I figured that was obvious from the get-go. I got a little gun-shy on it because John Clayton said it was going to be all AFC-NFC games to start.
He really nailed that one.
You should have never doubted Underhill, okay? When Underhill speaks, you listen, motherfucker.
Fair enough. The other thing, Andrew, Vegas, week two on Monday Night Football to open the Raiders' new stadium. Of course, are there going to be people there? Are there going to be 15,000, 20,000? No one. Who knows? And my other thought with this, the schedule is this is evidence piece number 8,072. Goodell hates the fucking Saints. They play on Christmas Day at 3:30. That is a nightmare. Everyone.
That's my problem.
And
that's my beef. That was the glaring aspect of the schedule.
Five road games in 7 weeks. This schedule is just...
I'm kind of hating the week six bye, too. I always hate the early... I always want it week eight or later. I hate the early bye.
Is your... Dave, is there anything else that stuck out to you a lot about the schedule?
No, I want to talk about the fucking Christmas game. I don't fucking understand. The NFL and Goodell, they're trying to fucking destroy marriages. They're trying to break up families. This shit is so fucking obnoxious. First of all, if Christmas falls on Friday, why aren't all the games just on Sunday? Isn't that what they normally do? Isn't that what they did last year when Christmas Eve?
I thought it was the NBA's thing to do Christmas.
Right. Also that, but like, why? It seems like they were just like, fuck it, let's put a game on Friday on Christmas Day. Like, yeah, Christmas Day falls on Friday. We could easily just make everybody play on Sunday and Monday, and you know, no biggie. But no, let's just fucking like when Christmas was on Sunday last season or two seasons ago, didn't they move all the games to Saturday or something?
Yes, usually when Christmas is on a Sunday, they play Christmas Eve.
Christmas Day, wait. When Christmas Day fell on the day that football normally is played, they went out of the way and moved the entire league and made the entire league play on Saturday. But when Christmas Day falls on fucking Friday, not a normal day for football, they're like, fuck it. Let's have two teams play on Christmas Day on Friday. What the fuck is that? Okay? And if they play this fucking game, I gotta decide whether I wanna get fucking divorced or whether and keep my fucking home game attendance streak alive. Or whether I want to give up fucking 10, 11 years of being at every single Saints home game and keep my family together. What the fuck, Roger, NFL? What the fuck?
Roger Goodell, divorce, home wrecker.
Divorce is the obvious choice here.
Yeah, I know I'm getting divorced. I'll start calling lawyers now.
Yeah, no, seriously, I can't believe that.
Do they have another? Is the Saints, is it the only game on Christmas?
It's the only game. It's not like they're blowing out and saying, all right, let's do one game at noon, one at 4:30, and then one at one night game. It's the only game.
If ever there was a time where Darren Revelle might have an opinion that I might agree on, it's probably on this. Darren Revelle probably agrees with me on this.
But as always, fuck Darren Revelle.
Friday? And also, so that's one of our quote-unquote primetime games. They're including that as the fifth primetime game. 3:30 is not primetime. I mean, yeah, I get it's the only game. It's going to be the game of the week, or it's the only game on that day. So it's a nationally televised game, but it's not primetime. You got to be after 6:30 to be primetime.
The Saints have played on a Friday before. It was the last victory that Mike Ditka ever had as Saints coach. They played the Dallas Cowboys Christmas Eve, 1999, on a Friday. Jake Delhomme threw for 300 yards. Eddie Kinnison caught a touchdown. The Saints beat the Cowboys.
The worst part about this is that I have Christmas Day in Baton Rouge every year, and I've got to be there because we do presents in the morning. So, you know, wake up first thing, we're going to have to do presents. And usually family gets there between noon and 1 o'clock, which is right around the time I'd have to leave to go to the Superdome. So even like, let's say, even if I cut it super close, 1:30 is probably the latest I can leave.
Allison makes a great point. Prime time equals dark outside.
Right.
Good point, Allison.
And even in the winter, 3:30, it's still light outside.
can we protest this somehow?
I mean,
it really pisses me off because honestly, it's now making me want to root for not games not being played so that I don't even have to fucking deal with this nightmare scenario.
Remember when you were so pissed that they played Thanksgiving back to back years, and then.
It's the home Thanksgiving games. The away Thanksgiving games are a fucking blessing. Those are manna. That's manna from heaven. But the home games that you have to go to, that's what makes it difficult.
That's true. If the Christmas game was away, it would be a perfect.
Oh, I would be in seven. That's exactly right. If the Christmas game, and that's exactly, I looked at.
Then you can be present, but not really.
Oh, forget it. Forget it. That would be the big greatest Christmas ever, or the worst Christmas ever, depending on how the Saints did. But either way, yes, I was like, as soon as I saw the Christmas Day game, I was like, please be away, please be away, please be away. Fuck, it's home.
You and every Saints fan.
But
if you're a Saints fan from abroad, or you know, you're a Saints fan that wasn't going to go to these games anyway, then it's probably exciting, right?
The 97 people in Malta that listened to the Saints Happy Hour in April, they can be pretty excited about that Christmas Day game with the Vikings.
Should we, since we're number 10 in Finland and we're 12. So popular there, should we start playing death metal? Black magic metal?
I mean, we do have this is, it's not Finnish, but German Finland, it's all the same, right? I mean, it's not that much difference, is it? I want to be top 25 all across Europe, and I want to be top 25 on Chartable. That's my goal for the 2020 calendar year. Now that we've discussed the abomination that is Saints Christmas football at home, Andrew, the rest of this schedule, I have to say, like, the bye is not great, but the start, Tampa, Raiders, Green Bay, that's a pretty difficult start. I have to say, the middle of this, when they play Detroit, the Chargers have a week off, Carolina at Chicago, they better go 3-1 in those games, because after that, they play at Tampa, San Francisco. I mean, Atlanta, it's a rivalry game, so you never know how it's going to go. Then at Denver, at Atlanta, at Philadelphia, Kansas City, Minnesota home, at Carolina. That's the finish. That's a hard goddamn road to finish. I mean.
Yeah, listen. The Saints are a 13-3 team. On paper, the roster is very strong, and that they're set up to beat anybody. So the schedule doesn't scare me that much in the sense that if you're a good team, you find a way to win most of these games, hopefully, and whether it's 10 or 12 or 13, I think they're getting to the playoffs. You know, the main thing I always look at personally, I mean, I'm always interested in the primetime games. I'm always interested in the matchups, and week one is always interesting, and Tampa was a predictable outcome. But the main thing I always look at is the cold away games. Like, how many potential cold away games do the Saints land? And there were three this year that were risky propositions. Denver, Philly, and Chicago. Those were the three destinations that they could go this year. So that's probably what I was keeping my eye on more than anything. So Chicago happens week 8, November 1st. I'm guessing the weather will be okay at that point. You know, low risk,
fine.
Low risk of snow. 40s. Yeah. So that one's not so bad. Denver on November 29th and Philly on December 13th. Those are more concerning. Those could potentially be snow games. And so, you know, it's just when you look at the Saints, how they're built, what they have a better chance of winning. I think this is maybe more unlucky than they've been in recent years, where I feel like they've only maybe been exposed to one road game like this. But there's two this year. So I would say that's probably the biggest disappointment. And they're actually on the road for 3 weeks in a row, because week 12 through 14, that's the gauntlet. Every team has that little gauntlet period in their schedule. And with the Saints, I would say, you know, week 12, they're at Denver, cold game. Week 13, at Atlanta. Week 14, at Philly. So you're on the road 3 weeks in a row, and two of those games could potentially be with precipitation, wind, cold weather. So that's not a great stretch.
I'd say it's a trade-off, though, for getting Kansas City and San Francisco, your two Super Bowl teams at home. You get Green Bay at home. That's good, too.
Minnesota.
And you get Minnesota at home. So, you know.
I mean, you don't know. Well, I mean, the end of the year, you don't know how beat up the Saints are going to be and how beat up Kansas City is going to be. But that, to me, Andrew, the toughest stretch is at Philly, 7 days later, the Chiefs, then 5 days later, Minnesota. Like,
I mean, it's really week 12 through 17 is when it gets rough, because it's that 3 week period that I just said.
Yeah.
Where you're on the road three straight weeks, including two cold games. Then you come back for two home games, but it's within 5 days of each other. And you got to play the Chiefs, who are the defending Super Bowl champion, and the Vikings, who left your guts on the floor the last 3 years. So those are two very tough home games. And then you've got to go at Carolina, which on January 3rd is not going to be – that could be another snow game. That's not going to be great weather, probably. So – I mean, I just look at week 12 to 17, those last 5 weeks is a pretty brutal stretch.
Yeah, and, you know, Dan Quinn's going to be fired anyway, so I'm not really concerned about the I'm not really concerned about
yeah.
the
– We said that last year, and he's still here, thankfully. But
Thankfully, he wasn't. I say it's 50-50 at best that he's the coach of Atlanta when they play November 22nd. I just, you know –
I did enjoy, if you're on Twitter, I recommend you check out the Falcoholic. I kind of hate follow them, and mostly when they tweet, I like to read the comments, like the responses from Falcons fans, and a lot of times they're really negative, so it's great. I saw that the Falcoholic tweeted right after the schedule was released, thoughts on the schedule, and most people were saying 5 wins, 4 wins. There's a lot of lamenting how difficult the Falcons schedule is. And so the sheer panic and dread was just wonderful.
Well, let's take a look at their schedule. Whew! It's that schedule. Just looking at this schedule, this is Roger Goodell. He might hate the Saints because he made them play at home on Christmas. But this schedule for Atlanta, this is the let's get Dan Quinn fired by Halloween. Seattle, at Dallas, Chicago at home, at Green Bay, home to the Panthers, at Vikings. That seems like 1-5 or 2-4.
Yeah, I mean, 3-3 in that period would be very unfortunate.
And then they go Broncos at Saints, host the Raiders, host the Saints. They have – then they play Bucks at Chiefs at Bucks to finish. Oh, Dan Quinn's getting fired. I feel it in my bones.
They sound defeated, the Falcons fans, right now. I mean, you listen to – I'm reading the tweets, and they're saying, man, Carolina and Tampa are going to be so much better, and the Saints are the Saints. Like, we're going 5-11, 4-12. I mean, it's delightful. Their spirit is broken right now.
The Falcons play the Buccaneers back to back the last 2 weeks of the season. That's fucking weird.
No, I think they have a game in between.
Two out of three.
No. They play the Buccaneers on December 20th, and then they play the Buccaneers on January 3rd. Wait, yeah, they have a bye. They must know. Yeah, can you have a bye that late?
You're an idiot.
Dave, how much have you had to drink?
It's in between.
How much edibles have you had?
What schedule are you looking at? Like Bob's? Are you looking at Bob's website?
No. This is straight from Google. If you Google Atlanta Falcons schedule 2020.
All right. Well, I'm on AtlantaFalcons.com.
It is definitely. I'm taking a picture.
It's Bucks, Chiefs, Bucks to finish the year, which is brutal.
Dave, can you please reference a website that isn't a Geocities?
This is Geocities, not Geocities, whatever. I'm fucking.
Who looks at Google schedules?
Is it safe to pre-order my quad division championship t-shirt? Are we feeling good about it?
I think the only thing that's stopping the Saints from winning their division is the coronavirus.
or the Bucks.
I mean, a lot of people that were really negative about the schedule today, and just negative in a way, not so much that negative is like, why are they doing it because they're not going to play the games, but just sort of like, this is giving people false hope and optimism, and one guy was like, it'll influence the presidential election. I'm not quite sure how. Like the NFL owners wouldn't want their money regardless of who the president is. But right now, I don't want to be too negative, Andrew, but how are you feeling about, on a scale of 1 to 10, us getting a full NFL season? How positive are you about that right now?
In terms of the games actually playing?
Yeah.
Pretty confident. I would say more than 50%. Again, I mean, I've said this a million times. They just have to get it on TV. But I just think if they have to kick the can and start the season a little bit later to feel safer, comply with whatever, they could do that. But I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, there is a history of shortened seasons. So I guess when was the last time that happened? 86?
87. They played 15 games because of the strike.
Yeah.
But But 1982, they had a 9-game season. They let 16 teams make the playoffs. Of course, the 4-5 Saints did not make it. They started 3-1 under Bum Phillips and didn't make it. So point is, the NFL, they'll give us something. It may be ridiculous and be like a 6-game season and then playoffs or something, but Dave, they're going to give us something, I believe. But how do you feel about the whole schedule for 2020 getting played? What's your optimism?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, I guess I'm with Andrew. I think if there is a season, first of all, wait. I texted you guys the picture of the Falcons schedule on Google. You can clearly see the Chiefs game is not on there, so I'm not crazy. I think that I feel like, if anything, there's going to be a shortened season. I don't see them playing a full season. I don't see them getting started on time. If they're going to only cut a few games.
What browser are you using? Are you using like Netscape 2.0?
I'm using fucking Google Chrome. I am a man of the times, okay, Andrew Juge? listen, if I was like Ralph and I was making a promotional video for YouTube for my podcast and posting it today, I would have fucking filmed horizontally and not in fucking vertical mode like a fucking schmuck, Ralph. Turn your fucking phone sideways when you're fucking filming yourself. Jesus Christ. So I think it'd be a shorter season. I think if they're gonna cut a few games, you know, in the early part of the season, I think they're just gonna cut preseason games. But I think they may have to cut more than that. You know, maybe they play half a season or something like that. 6 games in the playoffs—that's crazy. That's like you have to go undefeated to win
Dude,
the championship.
Dave, they did 9 games. What's the difference between 6 and 9? Not much.
Not much.
I mean, I didn't really, granted, I was 6 years old in 1982, so I don't remember it, but when Don Shula died, it brought back, you know, I just was like, oh, they played the Redskins, and it was a strike-shortened season, and I Googled it, and I was like, oh, my, they played 9 games. Like, that's nine, and had 16 teams make the playoffs, and, like, all these weird combinations. So they'll jam, they'll give us something. I'm excited when the NBA just says, fuck it, and they do a 32-team single elimination tournament to see who wins the title. And the Pelicans.
Do you guys think Google removed the Chiefs Falcons game because they've just already decided the Chiefs have won?
I don't know.
Like, do you think Google, if you look at, check the standings and see if it puts the Chiefs at 1-0 and the Falcons at 0-1? Like, maybe, yeah. Google has decided to just already award the game.
Hey Siri, what's the Atlanta Falcons record?
2020 Atlanta Falcons.
Wait, but she says the Falcons are in first place in the NFC South with a record of.
Hold on.
Wait. Now let me ask her about the Saints. She fucking better say the Saints are in first place too. This better be a fucking tie. What is the New Orleans Saints record? Ah. You're lucky. Good.
Here's my question. If the NFL says we can't have full
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have.
If the NFL says we can't have full stadiums, right? But we're going to play games.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk. Okay, go ahead. I want to talk about
something. Would you rather have 20,000 people at the Superdome and be able to go to some of the games? Or would you rather no fans and you get your money back? And you just watch.
So
everybody
does,
just
how
watches
does that
on
work?
TV.
Do you have like 4 seats in between each fan?
Well, if you did 20, if they did 20, let's say they do 25,000 people. So it would be like.
Every third seat?
Yeah.
That would be wild.
And you'd and obviously not every season ticket holder would get to go. So you'd probably get to go to like half the games. So would you rather?
No, what I would think. Okay, let's say if you were gonna.
Get to go to a third of the games, right?
Yeah, well, third.
There's eight games. 2, 4, 6, 8. No, I don't know. I think they would do it. I think you'd do it where you go to 2 games, and so every. You know, if I sit in seat one in my row, for week one, then the person next to me, gets to go to week two. The person next to them. Gets to go to week three.
If that's how it plays out, the person next to that goes
to week four, and then it starts over again, and everybody in the row, all the way across the dome, you know, you just keep moving. So I think that's how you would do it.
Yeah.
Market would be insane.
Would be wild. So to answer Ralph's question, I would totally do that. I'd be in for that. I would probably consider selling my ticket because it'd probably be worth like $5,000.
I mean, can you imagine how much someone would pay to watch Breeze Brady week one if there was only 20,000 people allowed in?
Yeah.
Totally.
Now, wait a minute. My plan doesn't work because what if you have 2 tickets?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You probably only get one of them.
And how do you – well, what if you have 4 tickets? How do you break up the 4 tickets?
That's what I'm
saying. If you have 2 tickets, you're bringing a family member, so you could probably sit next to them, right?
I don't know. I'll tell you this, though. I guarantee you, if I signed up for this and I only got to go to like 2 games a season, fucking guarantee you Christmas Day would be one of my fucking games.
I mean, I would hope that by Christmas, the Saints could have a full stadium.
I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, I'd be so excited to do anything that I'd want to go to the game, but like the dome with 20,000 people in it will feel like a 1980s Tulane game. And it's just not going to be the same. And yeah, you'd be excited because
1980s, you mean like 1999 or 2000?
Well, when did Tulane stop playing in the dome? How long they had the new stadium?
It wasn't that long ago. Like,
okay, so you're fair enough, but that's how it'll be.
Like, stop playing in the dome.
Yeah, like
Like 10 years ago, less than 10 years ago.
2015. Yeah, they built
Yom. 25,000 people in the dome spread out will be just.
That's more than what Tulane was drawing. I hate
probably.
Yeah.
But at least but Tulane would have like 15,000, but they'd all be congregated in like one little section. You know, this is going to be 25,000 people, but it's going to be like spread out everywhere.
It sounds nice, actually. It sounds fucking lovely. Like, you don't have to, like, you know, if you want to go to the bathroom, you just go to the bathroom. There's no fucking long line. You want to get a beer, there's no long line for beer. It sounds fucking enjoyable.
I almost wish they could play elsewhere. Like, if you're going to have that few, I would prefer to pack it in, like, the Charger Stadium.
That defeats the fucking purpose.
I know. But it's just a bummer that, like, it's a bummer.
It is.
A Saints game at Yulman Stadium would be insane.
That would be fucking sick. It would be so sick. I would love to have my tickets that I have for Tulane, because those are the best fucking seats in the house.
They'll temperature check us all going in, I guess.
I'll do. They can stick their finger up my ass if I have to get into that kind of game. That's fine.
Dave, you realize when only 7 people go to a game, you can sit anywhere you want, right?
No, I'm talking about if they had a Saints game and they packed it out.
Yeah.
Here's a fun question for the chat room. Let's hypothetically say that the Saints, Bucks, they let people in, but they're only going to let in 20,000 people. How much are you willing to pay to see Brady Breeze?
I feel like you should have a belligerent quotient where – if you're just kind of like a passive fan, like you should have to pass a test to have the right to pay to go see Breeze Brady.
Right.
I'm serious. Like, if you're just going to go there and give a little golf clap and you're just going because you want to be seen or it seems like something fun to do, no. Like, you
yeah, like
have
if you,
to be a diehard.
If you, you go
have,
to
you
Saints.
You have to prove that you're going to be loud somehow.
If
when
you
go to SeatGeek, it's like when you try to join a private Facebook group and the admins have that automatic quiz that comes up and you have to answer the questions. It should be like that.
No, but except it should be worse SeatGeek. Because like if you go to Tampa Saints and they only allow 20,000 people in and you go there and you're wearing a Mahomes jersey, I think Mad Max Thunderdome rules apply and you should be your ass should be beaten. Like,
here's what I think the test should be. You should be strapped to a blood pressure gauge, and the words – you should wear headphones, and in your headphones, the words Brandon Browner should be whispered to you, and then they should see if there's a spike in your blood pressure or not.
If it doesn't spike, you get the fuck out? Is that
– Yeah, you're not allowed to go to the game. Yeah. Your blood pressure has to spike for you to be eligible. For consideration.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's going to be wild. And I'm going to say this. I think the NFL is going to, I'll be stunned if we see any preseason games. I think the NFL is going to be like, the travel and whatever for preseason games is not worth the risk. We're not doing them. You're practicing for 4 weeks, and then you figure it out. You play week one.
Here's another thing, and Gibson Jones in the chat room is touching on this. If there's only going to be 20,000 fans in the stadium, and that's the atmosphere you're signing up for, I mean, that feels pretty lame to have 20,000 people in the dome. Would you rather watch it on TV than go with 20,000 fans?
Well, that was kind of my question. That was what I was trying to get to with when I said – would you rather, with that atmosphere, would you just rather just them not have fans at all and you get your full ticket refund and then you don't have to make these decisions, oh, do I pay out the nose because I want to go to a playoff game but they're only allowing 20,000 people in? Do I want to pay out the nose to see Brady or whatever? Just no fans, everybody gets a total refund and empty stadiums in 2020. Like,
I would go, I think it would be a unique experience, and I think it would be, you know, totally unique to, especially for me, having been to every home game ever. It would be, you know, definitely another check off the bucket list, but I know this might sound weird, But even though there would maybe only be 20,000 people in the stadium, this doesn't make sense, but I feel like in a way it would actually be more intimate, even though there's less people and maybe the atmosphere isn't as crazy. I don't know. I think it would be kind of cool.
It'll be cool if you're in the bottom two levels. If you're up in the terrace and it's empty,
well,
you might as well be watching on the TV. And I've been to Saints games. I went to the Saints games in the 80s, man, where you could fire a fucking cannon off in the dome and not kill any, hit anybody.
What about if you – do you think you'd have to wear a mask?
Possibly. I think that's definitely possible.
It'd be difficult to drink dome foam or eat a dome dog with a mask on.
Would you get the Saints sponsored mask when they, like, when you walk in, they hand you one?
Like, yeah, instead of a towel. That's right. Now you're gonna get face masks.
Like you're gonna get Hibernia Bank mask.
Hibernia Bank.
Do you think that mutes your ability to be loud?
I think so.
God, these are important questions, Andrew. Yeah, these are good questions.
These are the reasons why we have this podcast and people listen. Oh, by the way,
do you need a clear mask? Make sure you're not hiding anything.
Like a purse from a woman.
Bring any? Yeah, maybe you need to have a. They're gonna have a. There's gonna be a clear mask policy.
You stole Fredo's joke in the chat. I don't know if you saw it or not. Great minds think alike.
By the way, guys, check out the bird calls. The podcast, The Pelicans, it's awesome. They're discussing all things Pelicans. They're great friends of ours. We're gonna do some kind of team up podcast in the summer. It's gonna be fantastic. And you know, whenever we do Pelicans, Andrew says I'm obligated to play this.
The Pelicans, Zion, dude, they got Zion. They got Zion. Oh, I've never been this happy. Oh, this is great.
But go to the Bird Calls. They have a piece by Ollie that the NBA season is starting to really get in peril about being completed, and they have an awesome bird, awesome podcast, The Bird Call. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Just search Bird Calls, subscribe, rate it. They're awesome. So
I mean, who knows what things are going to look like, but I'll plant the seed now. With the Saints playing at home on December the 20th and then again on the 25th for Christmas, somewhere around there, assuming we can do it, we will hold a live podcast like we did last year around the holidays. Don't have a date yet or anything, so we'll have to figure that out as we get closer. But if you're in New Orleans or just visiting for the holidays, Port Orleans is likely a place that we would want to do it. So, make your plans.
We'll let you know. We had gotten the wheels very much in motion with that. And Andrew, of course, has connections in New Orleans. And we had really started to talk about it, and we were planning it in the preseason and that sort of thing. But now with the pandemic, we're just going to bump it all the way back. But if it's possible to do, we're going to do it. It's just, is it possible? Is it going to be possible with social distancing to have an event and have 50, you know, last time we had over 100 total people in there. So is it possible?
That last show was awesome, by the way. It was awesome.
It was.
I loved it. It was cool meeting you guys. It was not you guys. I've met you before. I'm talking
you
about
guys.
Our listeners, but the Bird Rights guys were awesome, and we did a joint show with them, and hopefully we'll get to do that again.
Yeah. So before we get out of here, very unofficial, but give me a prediction on the Saints 2020 record now that you've seen the schedule. And when you make your prediction, you can factor in crowds, no crowds, whole season, whatever, into that. But Dave, give me your very, very early prediction for the 2020 Saints.
I'm going to say I'm going to say they don't play a full season. I'm going to say a 12-game season. Saints go 9-3.
Nine and
if I get that right, y'all owe me like $1,000. That's like a crazy specific prediction.
We'll pay even more for Sean Payton to give you a lap dance or something.
You got to buy double breadsticks at Olive Garden.
Andrew, give me your prediction.
Yeah, I mean, who knows about the COVID stuff, so I'll just predict a full season. I think it'll be tough, especially if the Saints have to play in the Dome. I can't picture a scenario where not having crowd noise doesn't matter. Like, if we were to believe that the fan impact play really means something and playing in the Superdome is a huge advantage, then not having fans for any length of time is a hit for the Saints. So, you know, I don't think they'll go back. I mean, they're just too talented to go backwards too much. I mean, unless there's shenanigans we're not considering. But I'll say 11-5. And I do think the division will be tougher, more competitive. I could see Tampa going 9-7. I could see Carolina going 8-8. And Atlanta might surprise us, but I'll say the Saints win the division at 11-5.
The Saints are going to go 6-1 and win the Super Bowl. And for all time, from now until the meteor hits the earth, Saints fans will fight everyone on Twitter who says the title is illegitimate, and we don't give a fuck that they only had 7 games plus playoffs. We got the Lombardi Trophy. It counts. Take it from our cold, dead hands. That's what's going to happen. And that will be the way Drew Brees gets a send-off. He'll get a second title, but everyone except Saints fans will call it illegitimate, and we will fight them until the end of time. That's my prediction. Saints go 7-1.
I love it. Yeah, can I sign up for that now?
you would sign up for the 8-game season?
If you offered me a Lombardi Trophy and it was completely bastardized and every fan held that over us forever, I would take it.
That's my prediction, because that's just the way Drew Brees' career sort of goes. He never gets full credit for anything.
Fredo wants us to pick which team finishes last in the NFC South.
Panthers.
I was also going to say that.
Falcons, baby. The Falcons are going to come apart at the seams and go 4-12. Just write it in ink right now. Hold me to it. If they're good, Falcons 4-12. Dan Quinn doesn't make it to Halloween. How about that? So, if you like this podcast, we know a lot of you are new listeners because our numbers for April were through the roof. They're continuing in May to be through the roof. So there's a lot of new listeners we know. You should consider signing up and becoming a $7 or $10 patron, where $10 you get access to every podcast we do every day, plus all of Andrew's grades and draft write-ups and free agent acquisitions. And you get a koozie, you get a magnet, you get a sticker, and you get the Crew to Taste'em cup, which the FDA just said today, anything you drink out of it tastes better. That's just facts. So, guys, thanks to everybody in the live stream for joining us tonight for the Saints schedule release. It's been fun. We'll see you we will see you Sunday night. Until then, the bar is closed.